Glen Radio with Ember Ray, the Staffordshire Terrier. That says hi to everybody. All right. So that was No Such Thing, and that is the very first song from the album Goodnight Euphoria, and that is by Alice Austin. So, Alice, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I just have to say that since this is a phone interview and I'm hearing my song over the phone, I was realizing that it's actually really good on hold music, so you fulfilled a dream of mine that maybe AT&T or something will decide to use that song for people that are waiting for hours on end for their customer service. It actually works really well.
Oh my God. I love it. I love it. It's such a good like start to the whole album, you know, as far as I'm concerned. It's like a good intro. But Ember Ray got excited. The wonderful Staffordshire Terrier, a bull terrier that we're watching. So as soon as she got up and started dancing. So dogs like it too, I just want to say. So sorry for her barking.
They do. Yeah, my dog's like
that. She got excited. Well, it is. It's a good song, but yeah. I love the whole album, like I was saying earlier, and everyone, the album is out on April 22nd, 2022, but No Such Thing is out now. Where are the best places for people to get the single No Such Thing?
You can get it anywhere. You can get it on my Bandcamp is a good place. You
Perfect.
Can get there from my website. Yeah, if you go to my website, you can find all the places to get it.
AliceAustinMusic.com. And I got to say, it's Austin with an I-N because you get Alice Austin with an E-N. It's a completely different, amazing woman, too. Have you seen Alice Austin's work as a photographer? Have you ever Googled Alice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have because, embarrassingly, whenever you Google yourself, which everybody at some point has had to have done, of course,
right.
I'm like, oh, what is this? This is cool photography.
She's cool. I mean, she was pretty amazing, like what she did. I got all into her art. I was like, oh, this is cool. Alice Austin's rock around the world, you know, in music and photography. But your music, it's really interesting, you've done a ton. I know you were born and raised in Vermont, right? And now you're in L.A.?
Yes.
Huh. Okay. So that's a 90-day difference.
I was in Boston for a little while. Yeah, completely.
Cool.
I know. I didn't realize it. When I first moved to L.A., I had sort of a country girl idea of the United States and the size of it and whatever being – it's such a small state. And so far, Northeast, that when I moved here to California, I just was like, yeah, it's just a plane ride, no big deal. And then as time went on, I'm like, I'm looking at the map, I'm like, this is as far away from Vermont as I could possibly be, like diagonally south across the country.
It is,
it's so incredibly far away, but my East Coast people, I'm still in touch with so much and feel really close to Yay Technology. In fact, that's who I ended up doing the album with, was my friends from the East Coast. It was like such a fantastic thing that happened over the pandemic was remote recording. Like I never really thought I would be into it or have a good time, but Goodnight Euphoria was all done remotely with my producer, Druin, who I recorded my vocals at home and did demos and sent them to him, and he had the instrumentation all done on the East Coast with, friends of his and musicians that he worked with. And then I would just record my vocals and send them.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I mean, so fast.
But it's kind of got like an East Coast vibe to it. To me, and yet really Southwestern to me when I was listening, it's got a little bit of everything. And it kind of reminds me some of, Regina Spektor's kind of music.
Thank you.
A certain style.
I admire her.
What I mean? Yeah, there's a certain style, I think.
Yeah, I haven't heard that comparison before. That's a good one. Thank you.
Oh,
I don't know. It's like my perspective. I can't really, I don't know how to describe it because it's too close to me, but I always like hearing how other people hear it because to me it's just all over the place. I don't even know what it sounds like.
No, but there's just a certain, you have your own style, and that's what I really like about you, but there's like this certain, like, you know how kind of, oh man, that reminds me of some of my favorite music, you know, and Regina Spektor is like someone I just think is incredible. I mean, look at her career, you know, and the different sounds she's had too, but there was just a certain like, ooh, I really like this, you know? And I think it's good to have that kind of country-ish, kind of rockabilly, kind of, I don't know, man, you got a little bit of everything. And that is so nice when it's refreshing when it's so not pigeonholed, you know, into like, unless you're really a, you know how sometimes music is written for this is what you're supposed to write kind of thing? So
genre specific or yeah.
Yeah. If it's a true blues musician, I get being a blues album, you know, that makes sense, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you need to write this because this is what the market dictates, you know?
Oh yeah. I don't even know what that is. I mean,
that's not art
so
anymore.
Musical influence. I mean, I just have so many musical influences that maybe at this point it's sort of watered down. I mean, I think there's points in my life where when I first started writing music, you know, it was like grunge time, grunge era. And I mean, I can still hear that in my music, but like I wanted to write music like Nirvana when I first started writing, you know, when I was really young. And yeah, that was like a huge influence. But now I sort of hear all my other influences infiltrating, even though it's not a conscious thing anymore. It just gets under your skin as things do later in life, and they just sort of influence you in a more broad way, more general way.
So tell us about that one video with you in a Western background with little blow-up horses, little country.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like
hilarious.
It was like a set of Gumby. I felt like Gumby and Pokey were going to come
I had so much fun with that indie film. It's called The Special Horse. We just had the premiere a couple of nights ago. So it's being sent to film festivals, but it's actually an erotic satire, and it's hilarious. I just, the movie has grown on me as, you know, every time I see it, I get more, like, I just get more attached to it. It's sort of becoming this sort of like cult
cool
thing, but it's I don't know if it's actually released to the public yet. It's I think it's been accepted to 2 film festivals already, and I think it's going to do really well. But yeah, that was just sort of like the neighborhood. One of the songs on Goodnight Euphoria is in the credits for that film, and then I'm doing a singing narrative for it in the beginning and at the end. So I just have this sort of rodeo personality.
Cool.
Yeah,
we're going to have to play the neighborhood because that's what we do. Like as we travel, we go to everyone's neighborhood and go like, what are you doing? Like what's going on in that backyard? And we look at people's cars.
All right.
Yeah. Like, you know, we call them, you know, the pimp mobiles. Like, okay, who's keeping the old cars and are they raised? Like here down the street, there's like some cars that are raised up and I'm like, ooh, what you doing? Like, I don't know.
I know.
The neighborhood, that's cool. We got to play that, you know, before you go too. But Attella's Goodnight Euphoria really is one of my favorite songs on the album. It really is. But where did that whole idea and the, you know, was that one of the first songs you wrote or like how did that whole part come to be?
It was actually, I didn't write it for the album. It was one of the ones that got the record started. I think, was it the first one we recorded? No, The Ward was the first one that we recorded. But Goodnight Euphoria was a song that I had sort of started, but I just really liked the lyrics to it, and the way that it came out was not very, it was just sort of, it kind of was just a natural thing that came out in as a jam, and just playing it for a while, and it was just something that felt good, and I never really consciously made it into a song until I decided to do a full-length album. But the idea of this song is just like, after I wrote it, I was like, I wonder what this is about.
That's funny.
It's about, yeah, I do that a lot. Like, I just sort of stream of consciousness, write something, and then I ask myself what it's about. Because it's usually about several different things, but there's a sense of this is kind of heavy, but there's a sense of what you sacrifice when you become a married person, which is you already know what it's
well, that's why I'm not married anymore. That didn't last very long.
Right.
Mine was six
exactly.
months, if that.
Yeah. And I'm happily married. I have a great marriage. But
there's the
part that you say goodbye to of, like, I'm never going to fall in love again. Or is that real? Or is there this fairy tale part of yourself that you've already gotten to live and put to sleep?
Yeah, that's wild. It's a new chapter. It's like,
and so now
yeah.
what do I do? Yeah, what do I do now? Like, is this? Am I going
to
feel any
affair.
Euphoria?
I'm kidding.
Hello.
I'm kidding.
No, but that's true, though. A lot of people do, because there's that part of us that wants to stay alive and always, and there is a place for it everywhere. And for me, it's creativity. And, you know, it becomes more of a spiritual way of existing and trading ego in for that. And just a new understanding spiritually of love, I suppose. But there's it's trying to capture the sadness of it, of that, like, oh, I'm letting this go.
Right. You know, that is, I mean, it's kind of, I think it whether it's marriage or other things in life, it's like, even if you, like, graduate college, it's like that life is now over and you had so much fun or, you know, so much work or whatever it is. There's always that bittersweet, right? It's like exciting new things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Nancy, you and I kind of live in that zone going in travel mode. It's like you're traveling, you meet people, become, you know, friends and the pets and the parks
very
and the places.
And
just as you go, like, oh, you could totally live here, it's time to go. And it is. As soon as you know your way around, like, it's time to leave. And
it's
yet
time
you're
to
like,
move.
Oh, but you're excited about the next place.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh. But I think what you're saying too about, you know, for us to even do what we're doing, it was a commitment of knowing that, no, this is, you're letting go of normal life, you know, of having a home and all of that. It's like, okay. But when you do, you know, go into that new place and, you know, that part of you is now changed and moved on. And I think when you're talking about ego, leaving that part of the ego, it's a very interesting thing, because in the arts, you kind of need the ego, because you have to sell your stuff, and it's even part of performance, right? But at the same time, you have to have that weird thing of, like, creativity. When you said, like, you just let the song flow through you, that spiritual process, you can't have the ego in the way at that point, right? So it's kind of that interesting.
Ooh, that's good.
Balance of ego. It took me a while to get there, and another sip of champagne, but
you could look at substituting, like, instead of ego, say confidence. Because there is a difference.
Like,
yeah. There's a difference between ego and confidence.
Yeah.
Well, neither one is bad unless you have too much of both.
I think it's just sort of balancing, like, a spiritual, otherworldly existence with our existence on the earth, you know, as humans.
I like
that. And there's that, the part of us that's just growing as a physical being that is, you know, we can call it ego if we want, but it's natural for us to have feelings of insecurity and feelings of exuberance and confidence and feeling great about ourselves, or, you know, or wanting attention or anything it is that we want as a human. And it's fine, you know, and the beauty of creating art is that you can't really be there all the time in that experience. You have to, if you're going to create something. And we all create, everybody's a creator or an artist of some kind. So we always have to dip into both worlds, I think. And that's, I don't know. That's
cool.
Just one of the best things about life.
Yeah, it's a balancing act. It's a big balancing act.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I dig it. Well, let's play Good Night Euphoria, because we talked about it, but we are going to have to close with The Neighborhood now, too. Now I just want to play the whole album. I wish we could just do that on shows like this. We just sit down with the album, you know, but I want everyone to buy it, see? But here it is. Good Night Euphoria. Take a listen, everyone, and then we'll chat with Allison a little bit. Track to the new album by Alice Austin, and it comes out April 22nd, 2022. And keep up with Alice at aliceaustinmusic.com. She's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those places. And that song should be like a movie soundtrack. That is like one of my favorite songs this year, for sure.
It's walking down Venice Beach.
I know, and then you're in the desert.
Yeah.
And then you're just like tripping out somewhere. That's like a trip out song. And then when it's light, I'm like, dude, yeah, that's a, it's kind of like desert psychedelia.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing? I think there is now.
Yeah,
desert
totally,
psychedelia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
sounds like an album.
I love psychedelic music.
Yeah,
totally.
It's got that in there. Yeah, it's levitation. Our old drummer, Willie Kellogg, he used to play with, like, Moby Grape and Flying Burrito Brothers and everything, and he would always sit there. It's like, your music's got to levitate, and that's the you got the levitation thing
going
on. Yeah, it's all about levitation, spiritually.
That's cool.
And
Yeah,
so when we listen, it's like, it's always like, is that levitation? Because, you know, even the blues, you need levitation. you too.
Well, I'm going to totally use that from now on. I love that.
Yeah, because if the music has to take you somewhere else from where you are, you know, that's what art's about. Like if it's a novel or a painting or it's music, it's supposed to take you out of your own self and put you somewhere else for a new experience.
That's the idea.
That's
I can't
levitation.
Wait to
that's
drive with
does.
This. I cannot wait
All
to
right.
drive with this. Damn, I cannot wait.
That makes me happy.
Yeah, especially when we go through Texas again, you know, that's going to have to happen.
You need levitation in Texas.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that Texas route, that's like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but I, you know, this is what's cool about this album is it does, like we always, you know, as we drive, like there's certain music that goes to certain places, but this is an album that you could drive across the country because each song, even though they has like it flows beautifully, like the album, you know, it just has that, it's like the perfect set list, right? That at the same time you are going to see different things, and that's the beauty of it. I think that's always the coolest thing about well-crafted albums is you want each song to be different, but you still have to have that flow from one to the next, you know, like a good road trip should have. Without
we should do a road trip where we stop like after every two songs and say, like, this is what we're listening to, and this is what the scenery is, and then take off and do another two songs.
Okay.
Just road trip to music. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, Nancy's geeked out on maps right now, so she wants to make
totally.
Road trip music.
Ah, that's good.
That would be cool. Now, we got to hear about Black Sabbath. I think this is cool, because it's cool. Are you still doing that? Are you the lead singer of that still? What's happening?
Yeah, we're going strong. We have a tour coming up, a couple tours coming up in April. But, I've been singing with Black Sabbath for about 3 years, maybe 3.5 years. And I've been a huge Black Sabbath fan and Ozzy fan since I was a little kid. I think that, well, when I grew up in Vermont, the radio, you know, there's like one station that would come in. And there was this Montreal station called Shome FM, and they loved Sabbath and Ozzy. And so the cool thing about Ozzy is that he has the same vocal range as me, or I should say I have the same vocal range as Ozzy. That was quite arrogant of me. So like, you know, you're growing up and you're learning how to sing. Most people think, you know, I can't sing, but they just don't sing in the right key where the sweet spot in their voice is, you know? I mean, so I was always trying to sing. I like rock music, and so I was always trying to sing. I'm like, nope, can't sing Bowie, nope, can't, you know, and like the other music that I liked, I couldn't really do it. So I just always sang Ozzy and Sabbath, but never really played in many heavy bands. I just love melody, and I do love heavy music. So anyway, I've always kind of covered, you know, I always do like, even my country trio, I would cover a random Sabbath song. Or like, I think I did Changes, like a country version of it.
Cool.
Yeah, and so that was happening, and then a friend of mine sent me a message saying, oh, you know, this band Black Sabbath is looking for a new singer, and so it just became this Instagram sort of exchange with them. I checked them out, and I was like, hey, I'm definitely down to audition. And so that's how it happened. And we were up and running in like a week after auditions.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. And the name is perfect, man. It's cool.
The whole thing started from the name, yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, and you got to think that, you know, women in rock, you know, there's women in blues and jazz and, you know, country, right? But women in rock, it's just taken a while, it feels like. There's a lot of greats, but, you know, when you think about Black Sabbath and, you know, I think like even when Heart came on, you know, there was, and of course, like Stevie Nicks and people like that, there wasn't that much in women in rock. Joan Jett, thank God. You know,
you're naming
you know,
all the greats. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
Chrissy
and
Hine.
It's so good to hear. Yeah, Chrissy. Come on. You know, she's like still like, yeah, she rules. Yeah, she is. But it's, I think, still taken time to have women out there as rockers, you know? It was always the male bands, you know, that
well,
had that.
we're not supposed to be hardcore. You know, because people think if you're a hardcore rocker, then that's your only side, which is totally untrue. You can be hardcore mm-hmm. and still be soft, loving, and gentle. You can.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can wear skirts and still kick your ass.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, when you think also just women can rock out and be just as hardcore, but I think a lot of those groups were actually writing music for a female audience more than male sometimes. Like a lot of the big hair bands and the metal bands, I mean, I think they were writing a lot for women, especially the ballads, the rock ballads, were for the women audience,
totally.
You know? Yeah, I mean, even think like Guns N' Roses and stuff, that was for women, you know? Though now a bunch of guys are going to yell
at me. A lot
of
those lyrics are pretty misogynistic.
Yeah, that's true, too. There are, like, now when I'm starting to think some of the songs, I'm like, maybe they were balanced,
but,
you know.
Yeah, I think that there was the thing about the, you know, the revolution of rock music or the evolution of rock music that, between the 70s and presently is, like, the way that the fashions changed through rock and roll from the 70s, 80s, and became, there was more of a femininity emerging, and you know, like a lot of the hair bands that wore, you know, their hair was crazy, and you know, it was the same hairstyles as women were wearing and makeup and clothing, etc. I think that more of a femininity has come through in music, and more, you know, more of a blend of elements that I think is great. And I love that about Black Sabbath, is that their mm-hmm. music has a real feminine element. It's mystical. Mm-hmm. It's otherworldly. There's a lot of sort of soaring high vocals, and that's the thing
mm-hmm.
that makes it really special to me.
With a drive, mm-hmm. you know? And
with a drive,
intention.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a, you know, that's what's so amazing, is like it still has that power drive. But that mystical part, you know, it's like an intent. Because, like, when you watch Ozzy sing, he's got, like, a ferocious intent. Like, if he's looking
mm-hmm.
at you, he's looking at you, like, right in your eyes, like, right into your soul. Like, I'm going to take your soul now.
Yeah, totally.
I'm sucking it out of you right now. You just don't know it.
Right,
you.
Yeah.
So what is your champagne toast? Because first off, a toast to you and the new album, because, again,
mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of it. I love it. I'm so glad, you know. Thank you, Billy. I got a shout-out to Billy because, like, he brings over the best musicians, and this is definitely
Billy.
Billy rocks over at Glass Onion. Can't beat that name either. But what is your champagne toast?
I have to toast to all the incredible people that have helped me. I just, it's such a huge thing to write it and produce and manufacture and promote an album. It's just such a huge thing that you can't do by yourself. And it's really hard for me to ask for help. And I've just had so much help from the production, my producer, my mixing engineer, David Druin and Timothy Phillips have put so much work in, as well as one of my best friends sponsored this marketing campaign. Her name's Erin Bergeron, Dr. Erin Bergeron, and just such an incredible gift. All the photographers that have done shoots for me for free, Daniel Bergeron, Erin Morgenstein, and Catherine Asanoff, Catherine did the photo that you saw, which I love so much. But anyway, you
that.
Get a sense for
all. The pink
for
hair
all.
and the one rose-colored glass lens, I should say. I love that.
We had a lot of fun. Speaking of champagne toast, that was definitely, that was like a champagne shoot.
To always have champagne on photo shoots. I learned that a long time ago. That is a must. Mm-hmm. It makes everything better and easier, you know? But, wow, that's
very
so cool that you had so many people be part of it, you know? And maybe that, you know, adds to the warmth of it, you know? When you have, you know, community around you, you know, rooting for you, that, you know, just makes things better all the way around. It comes through.
Well, it's true, but it's like it's hard to root for yourself. So it's like I'm rooting for the other people that are on my team, you know, like even like makeup artists, like my friend Alexia who did the makeup. She's just like the biggest cheering squad. And, you know, so it's like when other people are contributing to your work, you're proud of it and you want to show it off for them and make them proud and like see like you know this is something we did together so that's it's, really the biggest gift and
it's a party you know
yeah it is
it's a party it's, when you work together when you have to do everything alone it's not that much there's no party
today is National World Party Day how about that so I think we're doing
that's
good
the best day ever
since it's a world party if you could go anywhere right now where would you go to go and, you know, do a show because we're going to talk. I know you have a couple gigs coming up. You're going to do a gig somewhere, right? Anywhere in the world that you've never been, where would it be?
I think that, you know, I had a, I've always wanted to go to India. I know it would be strange, but, or I know, you know where I would like to go to Japan. I was trying to plan a Japanese tour for this year and it's not going to happen because I have too much else going on. But, that is in the future. At some point, I really would love to go and play in Japan.
Wouldn't you like to do a show from the top of the Eiffel Tower or something and just blast it out?
Could you imagine that?
Sure.
Wouldn't
that be so cool?
And then she swings down on this big long silk rope, just like
right.
Just you know, she could just go all the way down because then you don't want to. You know what? We're close to Seattle here, so you could get in that little sky tower thing.
The Space Needle. Ouch.
The Space Needle. Yeah, you could play on top of the Space Needle.
Oh.
Like, yeah, I kind of like that because that's kind of.
Yeah,
we can see other countries and stuff from here, so that's good. You know, why not?
I love it. I love it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It has been a true pleasure getting to know your music and chatting with you. And Ember Ray, she's behaving now, but she does want to get on Nancy's lap. And she says thanks for the music, too, because she's got
so
more
funny.
Music to play with her.
Half in my lap and half on my feet.
Yes. So she likes your music, too. Your Ember Ray stamp of approval.
Oh, that means so much to me. I love the dogs. But thank you so much for having me on Big Blend Radio. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Sunday.
You too. Thank you. And here it is. We're going to close with The Neighborhood. And everyone go to AliceAustinMusic.com. That's Austin with a T-I-N. And keep up with your gigs there because you're going to San Francisco soon, right? San Francisco, you're going to play in the band show there?
Yeah, San Francisco. Yeah, in the park. I'll be in the band shell on the 13th of April, and then I have my album release show in Los Angeles at Footsie's Bar on April 23rd.
Perfect. So everyone keep up with her there, and then when it comes to purchasing, don't forget Bandcamp, and Bandcamp is really good to musicians compared to the rest. I'm just saying.
Oh.
So check her out there. So here it is, The Neighborhood. Enjoy, and again, the album is Good Night Euphoria. Take care. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.